Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Both up close and online, welcome to you as well. Lord Jesus, open to us the scriptures. Make our hearts burn within us while you speak. Our opening hymn is Hallelujah, the strife is o'er.
Right hand of the Father, we see.
A reading from the book of Acts. Peter addressed the people. You Israelites, why do you wonder at this? And why do you stare at us if though by our own power or piety we make this them one? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our ancestors, has glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over and rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one, and asked to have a murderer given to you, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses, and by faith in his name itself has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given him his perfect health in the presence of all of you. And now, friends, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. In this way, God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, that his Messiah would suffer. Repent, therefore, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Our psalm this morning is Psalm number 4, read alternatively by half verse. Answer me when I call, O God, defender of my cause.
You set me free when I am hard pressed. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer.
You mortals, how long will you dishonor my glory?
How long will you persist in defending my false cause?
Know that the Lord does wonders for the faithful.
When I call upon the Lord, he will hear me.
Tremble, then, and do not sin.
Speak to your heart and silence upon prayer.
Offer the anointed sacrifices.
And put your trust in the Lord.
Many are saying, oh, that we might see better times. You have put gladness in my heart.
More than the grain of wine.
I lie down in peace. At once I fall asleep.
For only you, Lord, may you dwell safely.
Faithful defender, do not let our hearts be troubled, but fill us with such confidence and joy that we may sleep in peace and rest in the light through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Amen.
I'm reading from the first letter of John. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now, What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this. When he is revealed, we will be like him, but we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. We know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The word of the Lord.
For our graduate hymn this morning, which accompanies our gospel, we will rise together, stand together, and sing, "Yours be the glory, risen, conquering Son," singing the first verse before the gospel and the second and third verses following. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see. For a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." The Gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Amen. peace be with you. He offers this expression often. It's meant to relieve or counter fear. And they think they're seeing a ghost. And this is when Jesus says to them, "Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I." Now, on one level, this would be the most direct way of convincing them that he really was present, providing proof that he wasn't a ghost. We know from recorded writings of the time that among those sort of ghost tests in antiquity, one could check extremities where bones were evident, like hands and feet, could check and make sure that a person's feet were actually touching the ground, and could check their teeth and have them actually eat food. Well, not surprisingly, they were joyful to discover the truth of his accompanying statement, "I am myself." Jesus' resurrection was real. It wasn't a ghostly apparition. Jesus was the fulfillment of Scripture, the Messiah who suffered and was raised from the dead. So let's go back to the specifics, though, of Jesus saying, "Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself." It seems to me that in this, he not only confirms that he's real, but he offers them sure proof that he is who they think he is. Two hands and two feet that could belong to no one else but him, with wounds that he wants them to see. When we think about it, hands and feet are not usually the first things that we notice about one another, but they are so telling of who we are. And generally, especially our hands, can't lie or cover up. Rather, they reveal what we've been through or are going through when one looks closely and directly at them. When we look at our own hands, we can see our age, perhaps our vocation, how our hands have been used and abused, scars that represent specific events in our lives, stains that offer insights about us. And our hands can also reveal our current moods and circumstances when they are clenched, nervous, damp, sweaty, open-palmed, or joined, even woven together in prayer. Of Jesus saying, "Look at my hands and feet," the author Barbara Brown Taylor writes, "When they did so, they saw everything that he had ever been to them. They saw the hands that had broken bread and blessed broiled fish, holding it out to them over and over again. Hands that had pressed pads of mud against a blind man's eyes and taken a dead girl by the hand so that she rose and walked. Hands that reached out to touch a leper without pausing or holding back. And they saw his feet, the ones that had carried him hundreds of miles, taking his good news to all that were starving for it, even into the homes of criminals and corrupt bureaucrats whom he treated as long-lost kin." Well, these hands and feet were wounded now, had holes in them, sore, angry-looking bruises that likely hurt them who loved him to even look at them. But it was important for them to look, and to look closely. Because earlier, when they realized what was coming to those hands and feet, they had fled, hid themselves away where they could not see the bleeding nor hear the pounding of the hammers that nailed him to the cross. But the danger had now passed. He had gone through that danger, not around it, and his hands and feet told the truth of what had happened. And they not only told the truth about what had happened to him, but told them and tells us that no matter what awful, horrific stuff has happened to and among us, he is with us in our woundedness. And as was noted way back in that first reading, he will, through our faith, heal us. Not cure us. Not erase what has happened to us, but allow us to look at what we have been through, what others have been through, and then through him, find the love and the peace that he offers. This weekend marks the anniversary of the killing of 22 people by a gunman dressed as an RCMP officer through a 13-hour rampage across our rural communities. We remembered them before the service and lit a candle for each of them, and we're going to remember them in our prayers of the people shortly. We need to allow ourselves to remember and to look closely and directly at the wounds and at the wounded and at the reasons. Because that's the way that we can offer support and comfort and prevention and intervention. And we have circumstances in our own lives and relationships that are yet unhealed because it is so hard to look at those wounds directly. Jesus invites us, though, to do just that, to look at the wounds, his, ours, others, and to know that he is himself, and to, through faith, know that he is with us in our wounds, now and always. I invite you to stand with me as you are able. Let us confess the faith of our baptism as we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. I invite you to assume a posture of prayer once again for our prayers.
Let us pray. In the power of the Spirit, in union with Christ, who is one with the Father, we pray, Lord God, as we journey through the Easter season, help us to see ourselves in the stories of the early disciples. Show us how to love, trust, and follow you as deeply and with the awe, wonder, and urgency of those who have gone before us. Help us here, Lord, in your whole church throughout the world, to proclaim the risen Christ boldly. We particularly lift to you those who are struggling with their faith, and ask for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit upon them and your church. Renew your people, Lord, and show us the way. Loving God, as we consider Jesus inviting us today to look at my hands and feet and see that it is I, help us to see and know that he is real and what his hands and feet tell us about him. Strengthen us to look directly at his wounds and know what he has been through. In our faith, help us not only to see our woundedness and that of others, but also know and experience the healing, the peace, and the love that comes through you. Lord of life, we pray for those experiencing illness of any kind, that their fear, pain, and heartache will be and remain replaced with love and hope, and that your presence will bring comfort and peace. We remember especially this morning Debbie, Marianne, Romilia, Maya, Adriana, Stephen, Kathy, Gail, George, Mildred, Ruby, Lori, Glenda, and Michelle. Merciful God, we pray for those whose hearts have been saddened by the death of someone close and dear to them, for members of our families who have died, and whose anniversary we recall. Help us to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit within us and the fellowship of the church family around us. Loving God, on this first anniversary of the horrific and still unfathomable mass killings so close by to us, we remember our fellow Nova Scotians taken from us, all those injured, and the families forever changed. We lift to you and beg your loving care, the unknown and felt presence for the loved ones. Gina, Dawn, Jolene, Frank, Sean, Alana, John, Lisa, Joey, Heidi, Heather, Jamie, Kristen, Lillian, Joanne, Peter, Tom, Greg, Emily, Joy, Corey, and Aaron. We thank you that you know us all and that you look deep into our hearts, watching over us in everything we go through, whether easy or difficult. We thank you that we do not stand alone, but that you hear the smallest sigh from each of us. We thank you that darkness must give way to light, distress to joy, and fear to strength and courage. For you lead us through it all, and that gives us strength and courage that endures through everything. Continue to protect us and those around us, and show us how to bring love and peace to your world. Amen.
Dear friends in Christ, God is steadfast in love and infinite mercy. He welcomes sinners and invites us to his table. Let us confess our sins, confident in God's forgiveness. And praying together. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have not done. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I invite you to stand once again as you are able. The peace of the Lord be always with you. I invite us to offer each other a COVID-friendly greeting in Christ's name. As we recognize and consider all that we have that we offer back to God, that came from God, our offertory hymn this morning is All Shall Be Well.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
It is right now to be praised.
It is indeed right that we should praise you, gracious God, for you created all things. You formed us in your own image, male and female, you created us. When we turn away from you and sin, you did not cease to care for us, but opened the path of salvation for all of you. You made a covenant with Israel, and through your servants, Abraham and Sarah, gave the promise of blessing to all nations. Through Moses, you led the people from bondage. Through the prophets, you renewed the promise of salvation. Therefore, with them, and with all your saints who have served you in every age, we give thanks and raise our voices to proclaim the glory of your kingdom. Gracious God, his perfect sacrifice destroys the power of sin. By raising him to life, we give us life. Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ is alive.
Recalling his death, proclaiming his resurrection, and looking for his coming again and again, we offer you, Father, this prayer and this prayer. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon this place, that all who look and drink at this meal may be one home, one body, and one food, a living sacrifice of Jesus Christ, our Lord. With Christ, and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, our Lord and Spirit, Almighty Father, now and Lord, we die with you on the cross.
Now we are raised to the world.
We are buried in the tomb.
Now we share your resurrection.
These are the gifts of God, the people of God.
That is mercy of God.
We participate in the Eucharist together as we are here together in prayer and joy. For those of you that wish to receive the body of Christ, we will bring it to you in a few minutes and I'll invite you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hallelujah.